Mark chapter number 14. Look at verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. They said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that got together, had a little meeting, didn't like what was going on. Well, that was in between the lines, you understand. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us the next few minutes get what we need out of your word. I pray that in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I don't know why you came to church today. I know we're supposed to on Sunday. And I'm not for sure why you're here. A lot of people are here for different reasons. But I can tell you this, maybe you thought you were born into this world to make a living. Maybe you thought you were born in this world to have a large career or whatever the case might be. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 4 about verse number 11, God created everything, and everything he created was for his good pleasure. Which means that everybody in this room, including myself, everything that was created to praise God. You think about this. Grass grows upward. Sometimes the wind will blow through the trees. And you say, I wonder what the trees are saying. Everything that was created to praise and to worship God. You say, well, why does God want us to worship him? Well, think about this. He's got angels in heaven, angels all over the heavens that praise him and worship him all day long. He has seraphims around the throne that says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come all day long. But he created man in his own image because he wanted somebody to praise and worship him, not because they had to, but because they wanted to. And so God created you. Listen, he's not making you worship him. He doesn't want to make you go to heaven. He doesn't want to make you do anything. He wants God. He wants to create a people that will worship him in spirit and truth because they want to and not because they have to. So a lot of people, if you're here today, you're here maybe because you think you have to be. And I'll be honest. Listen, let me help you. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But if you're going to heaven, you want to go to church. And it's not that I got up this morning and said, man, I got to go to church. You ought to got up this morning and said, man, I get to go to church. Because we come with the attitude of worship. You say, preacher, what is worship? Worth. Worship. It's giving him his worth. Ladies, let me explain it to you this way. God was created Adam. He created Adam in his own image, right? Ladies, help me. You can have a husband that's got a pot belly, sitting in that recliner, glued to that stupid TV, belly all hanging out in a wife beater t-shirt. got a glass of sweet tea, got his recliner kicked back. And you ladies, all you have to do, you go by him, and it don't matter if you're lying or not. You go by him and say, I just want to tell you something, honey. You still do something for me. You will always be my man. I still think you the best looking thing. And this is what's going to happen. Pot belly and all, he'll start. Somebody help me. Is that not true? I mean, you start bragging on your husband and he's going to start bowing up. The pot belly's going to go. He's going to stop breathing. Now, I said all that to say this. If God created man in his image, man does that, God does it too. And God will start becoming bigger when you start telling him how good he is. You say, you can't make God any bigger. Oh, no, no, no. You can't make God any bigger than he already is in the universe. But you can make him a whole lot bigger in you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you come to here today, but I'll be honest. We ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hey, church is not about you. Church, listen, we're not here for you. We're here for him and him only. We didn't come to see how you dressed today. We didn't come to see how your hair combed today or how you got your head polished. We're not worried about what you got on. We're worried when we came into this place, we wasn't looking for you. We're glad to see you, but we're coming to this place for one reason and one reason only, and that is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Be careful what you chase to be your God. Make sure that the God you worship can heal you when you're sick. Make sure the God that you worship can answer your prayers when you pray. Make sure the God that you worship can raise you up out of the grave. And let me just pause and say this. I don't know but one God that can do that. Because you can go to any grave of any god, small g, that you want to, they're still in the ground. But there's one grave that's most visited by everybody, and it's a tomb not because of somebody's in there, it's because somebody was in there and ain't in there no more. He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he got himself up, and if you want to get yourself up, you better be trusting in the one that's already done it, and not somebody like Buddha, or somebody like Muhammad, or somebody like Muhammad Ali, or somebody like that's got a towel on their head that can't get theirself up out of the grave. You better be trusting in one that's already done it. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, I don't know where I was at. But here's our text. You say, well, we went around the world to get to our text. Okay, here we go. If the setting. Mark chapter 14. You'll read this story again in John chapter number 12. Same story. We've got the disciples here, and they're here out of the sense of duty. We have Lazarus here. Lazarus probably is there because he was just raised from the dead, and he's there out of gratitude. We've got Martha. She's there, and she's in the kitchen, covered about with much serving, and making sure the fried chicken's on the table, and making sure the sweet tea won't run dry, and making sure the chocolate pie with 2 inches of calf slobber won't go dry. And she's just making sure everything is in its proper order. That's what she's there for. Simon the leper has opened his house, and the reason he's opened his house, he feels obligated because, Lord, the Lord just healed me of leprosy, so I ought to let everybody come in and be a part of this. And that's what he's there for. Then you got Judas Iscariot. He's there. And he's there just to impress somebody. And then you got the Pharisees. And the only reason the Pharisees are there, they're there to find something wrong. They're wanting something to go. They're just waiting for something that they don't agree with to go on. They're looking for dirt on the floor. They're looking for the bathrooms to be a mess. They're wanting something to go up. They're wanting the sound system to go crazy. They're wanting something they can talk about at lunch. Well, I thought I had the right sermon. I'm too far into this thing to back up now, so we're just going to go with it. And then you got this woman that comes in out of nowhere. Comes in, appears to be uninvited. This woman is a woman probably, ready, watch. This is the kind of woman that came, if it came into Holy Hills, everybody would go. What's she doing here? She ain't got no business in church. She's messing everything up. She didn't ask nobody if she could do that. She's supposed to have a meeting 2 Sundays, and it has to be voted on. It has to be announced 2 Sundays before the meeting. And you got to send an email out and put a call out and make sure everybody's there so we can have a vote. She can't do that without us voting on that. This woman came in and she was, let me help you, because I know we got some kids in the room, but she was a lady of the evening. She worked at night. Is everybody with me? In Tennessee, this means yes, this means no. But she was a lady, a woman that had been touched by the Master's strong hand. And she comes in to this place with one purpose and one purpose only. And she didn't come for the disciples. She didn't come in there for the Pharisees. She didn't care about Judas Iscariot. She didn't care about who took up the money. She didn't care about who the physician was in the house. She didn't care about Matthew and his taxes. She didn't care but about one person and the only person that mattered to her, and that was Jesus Christ. This woman come in to this place with one thing on her mind, and the Bible says she'd done what she could. You know, the Bible says seek the Lord while He may be found. You see, the disciples, let me hurry this right along, because this is one of those pointless sermons. I don't have any points. The disciples 3.5 years ago left all. They left their fishing. They left their tax collecting. They left their medical practice. They left all and followed Jesus, and they thought He was the best thing since sliced bread. Man, they would have followed Him off the corner of the earth somewhere. They thought He was the best. But after 3.5 years, after you done seen Him do it all, Jesus becomes no big deal. These disciples had seen Him raise Lazarus. They had seen Him heal Simon the leper. They had seen Him heal blind Bartimaeus. And they had seen Him do all of these miracles. And Jesus had become just one of the boys. One of the fellas. The disciples, they thought now they were the elite. They were the upper crust. You know what the upper crust is? All the little crumbs held together with their own dough. The upper crust. And the upper crust, they were the Sanhedrin of the day. Nothing gets by them because they're with the big dog. We know Him. You know, you look, we do the same thing, don't we? Look, every time you get to talking about somebody, they start telling you who they know that's important. Oh, yeah, I know the governor. Yeah, I got his number on my cell phone. Yeah, I know him. Or if you name some singing group or some country, oh, yeah, man, I know them. Yeah, yeah, man, they bumped into me in the bathroom. Yeah, I know them. Yeah, know them well. They don't know you. But there's something within us. We want people to know who we know. the disciples same way. We know the big man. We know Jesus. We know the one, and he's really, I mean, we've seen him do it all. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing that he's done I haven't seen. I'm just not impressed anymore. I've seen him do it all. It's no big deal if somebody gets saved today. It's no big deal if he answers prayers anymore. It's no big deal if he heals and answers prayer. It's no big deal if he fills the building. It's no big deal anymore. We've seen him do it all. And in this custom right here, they were sitting at supper. And supper's at 5. Amen? Supper's at 5. Dinner's at 12. And lunch is something you put in a paper sack, take school with you. All right? Let's just get that settled. But they didn't sit at a table like we sat at a table. They lounged on the floor. It was an oriental type custom, and the table was real low on the floor, and they lounged, and they didn't sit at a chair. They lounged and ate off of that table that was real low to the ground. That's the way they did. So now you've got all of these disciples. They're all laying around, and Jesus comes in. He's already healed Simon the leper, And they're lounging around. Jesus comes in. Jesus, good to have you at the house. Just don't sit anywhere you want to. Don't block the TV. We was watching something, Jesus. And sit anywhere you want to. But don't block the TV. And don't eat the last rolls either. Lounging around as if Jesus is really no big deal. And then this woman comes in, and the disciples are... She's messing up our service here. She's messing something up. Who invited her anyway? What's she doing in here? And she comes right before... And this is where I get reading between the lines. Do you see 12 disciples lounging around everywhere? They're sitting, eating, gorging themselves, rubbing their stomachs. Are you with me? And it's almost like this woman has to come in and she has to step over guys' legs to get to the Lord. Sometimes when you really want to worship Him in spirit and truth, sometimes you're going to have to walk, you're going to have to step over folks that's in your way. Let me go over here and say it over here. Sometimes you just need to look at somebody and say, look, I know what you think about me, and I really don't care, but excuse me. You're too worried about what people think about you. Look, this woman's like, look, I know, look, it's all over town. Go to Walmart. Who cares? They'll tell you. But get out of my way right now. Excuse me. Sometimes you're just going to have to look at somebody and say, get out of my way. You're in the way of progress. I didn't come for you. I don't care what you think. Just get out of my way and let me get to Jesus, who I come to do this for anyway. I didn't come to see you. I didn't come to do anything for you. I didn't come to impress you. I don't have a position. I don't have any politics. I wanted to see Jesus. So excuse me. This woman comes in and she brings a alabaster box. This alabaster box. Sorry, Rob. You got to buy a new one of them. She brings in this alabaster box. Alabaster, this full of spikenard. It comes from India. Very, very important. Very costly. 300 pence, probably a year's wages in that day. Women would carry these And it was very important because you did certain things with these. You would wear this on your wedding day. Very, very expensive. You don't wear it every day. You would wear it on your wedding day. And when you died, you would want some of this very important spices so you could be buried with it. And so that's what they would do. So all of this woman's savings, everything she owned is in this one box. Everything she's got, everything she owns, everything in her whole entire life, she don't have much, but everything she has is in one box. And the Bible says, when she comes in, she says, excuse me, get out of my way, excuse me, all of that kind of stuff. And she came to him, and the Bible says she broke the box. You say, why did she break the box? Well, there's two customs to that. When a very important person came to your house and they drank out of a glass, to keep a lesser person from drinking after them later on, when that important person drank out of that glass, they would break the glass after they got done with it so no lesser person would drink from that glass. Or, number two, they would break the box when a person died. They would break that box and they would bury the broken pieces with that individual and with their body with that perfume. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that she broke that box because she didn't want a lesser individual. Because this was the most important man in her life. He had touched her life. Now, let me tell you what we do. If everybody wants a time check, it's 5 till. Nobody move. And let me just say this right here. Look, we're coming down to the end of the sermon. I know some of you are glad about that. Now's not the time to get up and go to the bathroom. Now's not the time to get up. You should have done that between Sunday school and preaching before you got here. Now's not the time. Don't mess it up. This is what we do on Sunday. We open our little box and we give God. And we pick our box back up. We take it back home with us. But once you break it, everything's out. Once you break your box, you can't control how it comes out. And you can't pick it back up and take it. Look, what's in your box? This morning, what's in your box? You've got some box of pain. You have box of depression. What's in your box this morning that he wants? You need to give it to him and stop taking it home. What's in your box this morning? What is it that God wants? Your whole entire life is in this box. And sometimes we say, on Sunday morning, we open it and we get up. The last song is sung and we take it back home with us. We only give God. Can I say this? And I'm saying it as nice as I can. God's not your butler. He's not your bellhop. And he's not your maid. You can't pull him out just when you got a flat tire and fix the tire. And then on Monday go back to your cussing and carrying on. And on your Facebook, you're posting the Lord is my shepherd one day. And the next day, telling the whole world how bad your family is and so-and-so run around with this one and I can't stand her and she's all this. And then the next day, praise ye the Lord. You need your box broke. You need your Facebook account broke first. Hallelujah. Is that all right? But this woman come in. And she broke her box. And she said, God, you got it all. I ain't taking nothing back home with me. I ain't taking nothing. And all of a sudden, when she broke that box, you see, ladies and gentlemen, broken things. God can't use you until you're broken. The finest oil is from broken olives. The finest perfume comes from broken rose petals. Amen. The rain comes from a broken cloud. When the ground is broken, that's when it comes forth, brings forth life. A broken grain is what makes the bread that gives us strength every day. God couldn't use Abraham till He broke him. God couldn't use Joseph till He broke him. God couldn't use Paul till He broke him. God couldn't use David till He broke him. God needs broken people, broken things. And He wants it all so we can't control how it comes out. And then when it breaks, all of a sudden the Lord says, a sweet smelling savor to the nostrils of God. I wonder what this woman thought. I know what the people thought. But ladies and gentlemen, some of you just need to just break yourself. Some of you just need to just break it and let God have it all. Stop coming down to this altar and then giving God and then picking it back up and toting it back to your house and living with it Monday through Saturday. I wonder if that woman was here today. I wonder what that woman would want to tell you. I wonder if that woman right there was here today. I wonder what that woman would want to tell you. She might tell you a whole lot. Some of us just need to be broken. Let God break you so He can use you for His honor and His glory. God uses broken things. Won't you let it all come out this morning? Just let God use you. How about it this morning? If you need to come to the altar, you come.